It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
A blockbuster double-barreled October surprise from FBI Director James Comey. He is investigating Hillary Clinton and her server again after new emails emerged, according to an FBI source, from the separate sexting investigation of former Congressman Anthony Weiner, husband of Huma Abedin, Clinton's top aide, who was interviewed by the FBI during phase one of their investigation. Comey firing off a new letter to stunned members of Congress. Quote, I am writing to inform you that the investigative team briefed me on this yesterday, and I agreed that the FBI should take appropriate investigative steps designed to allow investigators to review these emails to determine whether they contain classified information, as well as to assess their importance to our investigation. Comey was under intense pressure after declining in July to press charges against Clinton, despite kicking off an extraordinary news conference by suggesting she did, in fact, mishandle classified information.
Although there is evidence of potential violations of the statutes regarding the handling of classified information, our judgment is that no reasonable prosecutor would bring such a case.
Beyond being a criminal problem for Clinton, she has been suffering political damage ever since a March 2015 news conference, where she made a series of promises to the American people that turned out to be false.
There is no classified materials.
Comey's probe, though, has been clouded by former President Bill Clinton meeting privately with Attorney General Loretta Lynch on an airplane, and President Obama suggesting in multiple interviews that Clinton did not violate any laws.
Can you still say that?
I continue to believe that she has not jeopardized America's national security.
Today, the president had no comment.
As for demands by the Clinton camp that the FBI release more information tonight, a senior law enforcement source is telling us they have no plans to do so, and they doubt it will be wrapped up by the election. A former FBI official told me, meanwhile, if Clinton is worried about timing, she should not have kept the existence of her server secret for so long.
Sandy Rios with you on this Monday morning. It's Halloween, and certainly I think for the Democratic campaign for president, it might be Halloween. Pretty scary. That was a report from Friday, Ed Henry on Fox News, and we know even more than we did when Ed first broke that story on Friday. It's nice to be back with you in Harness. It was great to be in Houston, to meet some of you in person. It was. We'll talk more about that, but I have to jump into this. There's so much to tell you. This is an amazing story. And of course, now James Comey, the FBI director, is getting hit, and we're going to talk about that in detail, too, by the left. Harry Reid has written a letter accusing him of criminal activity. So he was hit by the Trump campaign. Now he's going to be hit by the Clinton campaign. We'll talk about that, too. But this is the letter that Comey sent. It was only three paragraphs. He says, Dear Chairman, in previous congressional testimony, I referred to the fact that the Federal Bureau of Investigation had completed its investigation of former Secretary Clinton's personal email server. Due to recent developments, I am writing to supplement my previous testimony. In connection with an unrelated case, the FBI has learned of the existence of email that appeared to be pertinent to the investigation. I am writing to inform you that the investigative team briefed me on this yesterday, and I agreed that the FBI should take appropriate investigative steps designed to allow investigators to review these emails to determine whether they contain classified information, as well as to assess their importance to our investigation. And then there's one more paragraph, but it's not that. He says, we know we can't assess the material. We can't predict how long it's going to take. And so that was signed by James Comey, director of the FBI. So all hell is breaking loose. And, of course, Harry Reid is accusing Director Comey of violating the Hatch Act. I don't know about the Hatch Act, but there has been a tradition set in place, it looks to me like, reading the history of it, by Democrat leadership, that they don't want the any kind of indictment or any kind of a charge to come down right before election, lest it appear political. And we're going to track that. It just conveniently seems to always comport to the benefit of the Democrats. I would say that. And we'll get into that in just a second. I have to say, tell you something else that I haven't heard from any other source. And this is huge. The source for me telling you this is Joe DeGeneva. Remember, Joe was my guest last Tuesday. He's a former U.S. attorney, former special prosecutor. He's right in the thick of all of this. Joe has the confidence of lots of former and current FBI agents who have been very exorcised about James Comey's treatment of the Hillary Clinton email investigation, you know, stating in July in this press conference that she was indeed guilty, really, of passing on top secret email and then choosing not to indict her. They've been upset about that. So Joe talked about that at great length last Tuesday on the show, but he claimed last Friday on another station here in Washington, D.C., that those laptops that belonged to the Hillary camp that were supposedly destroyed, that got rid of, you know, we didn't know why they were destroyed, but that was part of the report. The FBI destroyed the laptops. Joe says they are not destroyed, that FBI agents who were ordered to destroy those did not destroy them. So can you see, let that soak in for a second, can you see that this is going to be, I just have to tell you, we are at war. We are at war. You think of the FBI agents, if Joe's account is true, and I believe, you know, he knows what he's talking about, just think about what it means for an FBI agent to come forward who was ordered to destroy evidence. And of course, always, you know, they follow commands, but refused to do that. And the laptops are still in existence, which might mean that those really highly, whatever, damaging email that Mrs. Clinton bleach-bitted. Now, this is my speculation. I have to say, Joe didn't comment on this, but it makes me wonder. You know, there are some 600,000 email on this device that belonged to Anthony Weiner. In fact, I should let Catherine Herridge tell this part of it because she's the one investigating it. Let's listen.
The government source confirms that the metadata on Anthony Weiner's computer turned up positive hits for state.gov accounts as well as Clinton's emails, adding the numbers are, quote, astonishing. With the Wall Street Journal reporting tonight, 650,000 emails are in play, and that's what led the FBI director to reboot the email case.
After a subpoena was issued in late September, Fox News was told FBI investigators began combing through Anthony Weiner's computer in the separate sexting investigation, allegations he has denied. As they sifted through the records, investigators found emails from Clinton aide Huma Abedin, Weiner's estranged wife, who had access to the laptop. The FBI team then got new authorization to do a deeper dive on the metadata, and that was when the hits allegedly linked to Clinton were uncovered. Abedin told the FBI in April that she sent State Department emails, including this one from Clinton, to her personal Yahoo account, where it was easier to print than the clumsy State Department system. In June, Abedin swore under oath in a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit that she never deleted her emails, and she searched through all her devices for government records. But that sworn declaration is now in question. The ranking Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee told ABC News Comey acted outside his lane.
I think this was a terrible error in judgment by the director. To release this kind of ambiguous letter. These may be pertinent, they may be significant, they may not be significant, they may not be pertinent. That kind of an ambiguity bomb this close to election was a terrible lapse in judgment.
All right, so that's the first part of it. And then Catherine has more to say, so let's go ahead and listen.
In January, Fox News first reported the FBI was investigating the Clinton Foundation and pay-to-play allegations against Secretary Clinton. A former FBI executive told CNN those cases were not shut down despite efforts by the Obama Justice Department.
The FBI has an intensive investigation ongoing into the Clinton Foundation. And Huma Abedin and her role in the foundation and possible allegations concerning the activities of the Secretary of State in the nature of the foundation and possible pay-to-play, that's still being looked at.
Fox News is told the director's decision was driven by two factors, the sheer volume of emails and the commitment he made under oath.
Would you reopen the Clinton investigation if you discovered new information that was both relevant and substantial?
It's hard for me to answer in the abstract. We would certainly look at any new and substantial information. And
there is new evidence tonight that FBI Director Comey and his deputy Andrew McCabe knew about the laptop and emails before the notification letter to Congress Friday. McCabe is already under scrutiny because his wife was personally recruited by the Virginia governor, a longtime Clinton ally, then receiving $675,000 for her Virginia Senate race. The FBI has denied any conflict of interest, Brett.
Okay, so thank you, Catherine. Boy, isn't it something that this revelation should come through Anthony Weiner's email. The irony of that, you know, that Anthony Weiner, without me describing, we all know, this came in an allegation of a case of him sexting, allegedly, a 14 or 15-year-old girl from North Carolina, and of course it's much worse than that. But the New York City police are investigating this. My understanding is that they came across these email on Anthony Weiner's computer, which was shared by Huma when they were married. So, and Huma Abedin, you know, had testified that she'd given up all of her devices, that she testified under oath that she gave up all of them with the State Department email. Well, that's obviously not true. So it's just it's a mess. Okay, so now, I told you Harry Reid is now coming after Director Comey. This is partly what he said. I'm writing to inform you that my office has determined that these actions may violate the Hatch Act. Through your partisan actions, you may have broken the law. So they're trying to threaten him. And we also now, I'm hearing from the Daily Beast, that the Clinton campaign is asking ex-prosecutors to come after James Comey. Clinton campaign released the letter on Sunday, signed by nearly 100 former federal prosecutors, including Eric Holder. Speaking for prosecutors, the letter said Comey's unprecedented decision to publicly comment on evidence in what may be an ongoing inquiry just 11 days before a presidential election leaves us both astonished and perplexed. And it goes on about that. But you have to know that this is not the first time this has happened. When it's happened to help Democrats, they were quite happy about it. As a matter of fact, let me see if I can find this. You know, I'm going to save that for the next break. I'm going to save that story because I want to tell it without having to hurry. Jennifer Griffin did a report last night before these things I just told you about the Democratic response. Let's listen.
Hillary Clinton avoided talking about the FBI director at campaign stops in Florida and tried to look forward.
No matter what is thrown at us, we need to stay focused on our goal. We need to understand that the best way to repudiate a negative, hateful, bigoted vision is by voting.
Clinton stopped at a soul food restaurant in Fort Lauderdale, leaving the response to the FBI director's letter to Congress to her surrogates.
We are calling on the FBI. Look, now that you've thrown this kind of question mark letter out and already had to backtrack, you got to put all the details out for the American public to see instead of doing this kind of, you know, big question mark right before the election.
Clinton's campaign manager, Robbie Mook, was on the ropes this morning with Fox's Chris Wallace trying to answer questions about her longtime aide, Huma Abedin's email practices.
Why on earth wouldn't Hillary Clinton say to her closest personal aide, was there any stuff on that on your laptop, and was it?
Chris, again, I appreciate your question because people want answers. There's nothing about Huma Abedin in the letter that
I
was
know
sent
that,
out.
But why wouldn't Clinton ask her?
Well, why wouldn't Clinton ask anybody? They could be emails from anybody in the world.
But I mean, there are no reports that it's anybody else except Huma Abedin.
Again, you're putting out some hypotheticals. There are other hypotheticals that have been put out there.
Huma Abedin, whose laptop appears to be at the center of the FBI investigation, for her part, has been mum. She was in Brooklyn yesterday at Clinton headquarters, not traveling with Clinton as she usually does.
You talked to her? Have you asked Huma Abedin what is on the computer and why she didn't turn it over when she said she had divided all the devices?
We don't know what computer Mr. Comey is talking about. You're assuming a lot of facts that we don't know. So I think that, as I said, she's been fully cooperative with the authorities.
All right, so there you go. That's Jennifer Griffin's report on Fox last night. Well, there's a lot more to say about that. And in the last segment, I'm going to open the phone lines and just see what people are talking about where you are. Are they aware of this? Is this affecting the conversation? Is this affecting people's view of the candidates? I'm really curious about that part. This is Sandy Rios. in the morning on AFR Talk.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to Israel in March, March 9 through the 17th. We'll be going to the land of the Bible, the Holy Land. We'll be seeing so many places every day. The days are just full of things you've read about in the Bible. And one of the things that I enjoy about our trip is wearing people out. And we'll be wearing folks out during our trip of Israel, because I know that when folks pay to go to Israel, they want to see it all, and we'll be seeing it all, including Bethlehem, Jericho, Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, Nazareth, and much, much more. Won't you join us on this special tour of Israel in March? For more information, just call us and we'll send you a brochure at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5, or go on the web at twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and Commentary next. Truett McConnell University is training students to love the Lord, love the Word, love the Church, and love the lost. Scripture is the foundation for everything they do. It's who they are, preparing students not just for career, but to fulfill God's high calling on their lives. Truett McConnell University offers a wide array of bachelor's programs, some online, and they also have an outstanding Master of Arts in Theology. So if you'd like to schedule a visit to Truett's campus in the North Georgia Mountains, visit truett.edu. The mainstream media has finally figured out what the rest of us knew all along. NFL ratings are in a free fall because of the national anthem protest. Seton Hall University conducted a survey. They discovered 56% of football fans believe folks are not watching the games because of players disrespecting the Star Spangled Banner. That's why I turned off the TV, stopped supporting the NFL's corporate sponsors, too. Not a single penny of my money is going to fund a bunch of un-American athletes. Now, the NFL says it's a free speech matter. But that's not what they told the Dallas Cowboys. They banned the team from honoring fallen police officers by putting a decal on their helmets, said it was against NFL regulations. But it's okay for players to disrespect our flag and our national anthem and our military? I don't think so. And based on the NFL's ratings, neither do you. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
The news this morning is this is bigger than Watergate. This is bigger than Watergate, in my opinion. This is bigger than Watergate. Hillary bleached and deleted 33,000 emails after receiving a congressional subpoena. That alone, to me, there were more serious things done. But how does it get much more? But that was so obvious. She gets the subpoena, and she bleaches and deletes 33,000 emails. That, to me, because it was so simple. You know, not it's not about the sale of the uranium, that nobody knows what it means. I know what it means, to Russia. Then she talks to me about Russia.
All right, that was just from another source. What was that source? It was the Daily Mail, I think. A clip of Trump. Of course, he's out on the trail talking about this, as well he should. You know, Loretta Lynch and the Justice Department are quite upset with James Comey for this. Loretta Lynch did not want this to happen. And so there's a lot of the Justice Department is huffing and puffing. But there was an interesting editorial in the New York Sun just came out 2 days ago. And it says the gods of irony must be crackling at the news that the director of the FBI, James Comey, defied Attorney General Lynch over Secretary Clinton's email messages. Let us just say that it wouldn't be the first time Mr. Comey broke with an attorney general of America. It's just the first time his doing so has angered the Democrats. And it goes back and retraces what Joe DeGeneva said to us about a week ago in the air here. Is that, let's see, it was when this presidential surveillance program came up for discussion, and it had to also whether they were going to reauthorize waterboarding. And so Attorney General Ashcroft was in the hospital and could not sign, and Comey was the acting attorney general at the time. So he got those papers, and he refused to sign it. And he threatened to resign if Mr. Ashcroft agreed to the Bush plan. And he was praised by the left, so much so that when President Obama named Mr. Comey director of the FBI, the New York Times quoted a White House aide as saying that Mr. Comey's part in the 2004 crisis was, quote, an important factor in the president's decision-making, end quote. Mr. Obama himself called the G-man's fierce independence and deep integrity. Joe DeGeneva, of course, doesn't feel that way. He talked about how Director Comey, when he was a U.S. prosecutor, along with Pat Fitzgerald, who became the U.S. attorney in Chicago, went after Scooter Libby with a vengeance and prosecuted and successfully got him behind bars on false pretenses, claiming that Scooter Libby was the leaker and the Valerie Plame. Remember, there's allegedly, and that's before I came to the mic here with you, but Valerie Plame is and her husband, Joe, are complete liars, but you don't know that probably if you weren't listening to me at the time. But Pat Fitzgerald and James Comey knew that they were, and they knew that it was not Scooter Libby who was responsible for allegedly so-called leaking her name. They knew that it was Richard Armitage, and yet they went after him and prosecuted him. So there are some things in Comey's past that would hint at partisanship already and not a Republican partisanship. So now this is the irony here. James Comey, I guess, has been backed into the corner. I don't know the details. I just know that I do know that agents are beside themselves. They have called Comey a liar for saying publicly that the decision not to go to issue some sort of an indictment against Mrs. Clinton was unanimous. They said it was not unanimous. It was unanimously of the agents investigating in favor of bringing charges. It was only Comey who was against it. And so much more we could say about that. But of course, Harry Reid has sent this letter accusing Comey of violating the Hatch Act. The Democrats are all over Mrs. Clinton in addition to this, accusing him of politicizing this race. Of course, he didn't politicize it when he didn't charge her, but now he is politicizing it. And of course, both sides are going to see this differently. And they are claiming that this, you know, it's longstanding policy that the Justice Department never, you know, used their power to affect an election. And looking back over the examples, I do see that it's always to the betterment of the Democratic nominee. And I'll give you an example here. 24 years ago, some of you will remember that George Herbert Walker Bush was running against this Bill Clinton. And Bill Clinton had moved ahead. George W. Herbert Walker Bush was surging back against Bill Clinton. And then something interesting happened. Special Prosecutor Lawrence Walsh issued an indictment against former Reagan-era Defense Secretary Caspar Weinberger the weekend before the 1992 election. The weekend before the 1992 election. They alleged that Bush knew about the Iran-Contra probe, and Clinton called it the culture of corruption, and many people believe, because the race was so close, that that's why George Herbert Walker Bush lost. I just wonder if Mr. President Bush Sr. remembers that when he says that Clinton is his other son, when he goes to the polls and votes for Mrs. Clinton. I wonder if he remembers what the Clintons actually did to him and his family. I'm thinking not. Well, just to illustrate this, so we have tape from back at 24 years ago when there was a different attitude about some by the way, this indictment was dropped after the election. They found that there was nothing to it, no substance, so it was totally dropped. This, ladies and gentlemen, was a political move, whereas Comey's is, you know, I think under stress and duress and forcing of his agents underneath him, Comey has now is expanding this investigation. This is not politically. And there was nothing in this indictment. So, nevertheless, Bill Clinton and Al Gore weighed on this. Well, they didn't accuse the attorney general of anything political. Let's listen.
And all along, the Clinton campaign has been trying to make an issue of George Bush's credibility. The revelations today about Iran-Contra played right into that theme.
Today's disclosure that President Bush knew and approved of the arms for hostages deal with Iran not only directly contradicts the president's claims, it diminishes the credibility of the presidency. It raises the question, first and most importantly, about whether he's told the truth in this campaign and for the last 5 years. And secondly, it raises the whole question of his support for the policy. But the far more important thing is whether for 5 years he's been telling the American people something about his conduct of foreign policy as vice president, which was simply not true.
We now have the evidence, the smoking gun memorandum, the clear proof that what George Bush has said about his role in creating one of the worst, most embarrassing catastrophes in American foreign policy is simply untrue. How can he now ask the American people to trust him?
Gee. Now we know. Let's see, Bill Clinton and Al Gore, such trustworthy sources of anything. And there they are using a weekend before the election indictment by a special prosecutor of Casper Weinberger, alleging that President George Herbert Walker Bush knew about the Iran-Contra affair. It was not political. It was fine with him. They were, you know, somehow it escaped them that this might be political. Just saying. And you need to know about that. But here's another just unbelievable story that I want to make sure I tell you this morning. Jennifer Griffin touched on it a little bit. So let's hear Jennifer first, and then I'll tell you what I know this morning. Jennifer Griffin.
And now another embarrassing email from WikiLeaks seems to suggest campaign manager Robbie Mook was lying recently when he told CNN that the campaign had no relationship with Bob Cramer, one of the Democratic operatives who appeared in that Project Veritas video talking about sending provocateurs to Trump rallies. But a new email released by WikiLeaks shows that his partner, Bob Cramer's partner, Michael Lux, talking to a Clinton insider, saying that Cramer is, quote, close to Robbie Mook, unquote.
All right, so let me explain that. We talked about the James O'Keefe videos. There were three of them. Most recently, this two-year investigation he did undercover of Democratic operatives connected with the Clinton campaign. And the one name that you need to remember for sure is Bob Cramer. He is the husband of Jan Schakowsky, congresswoman from Illinois, from Chicago. It's interesting to me, you know, this is my home turf, and I remember working in a campaign against Jan Schakowsky. I remember seeing her in an airport recently, just the two of us chatting. You have to know that Jan Schakowsky and her husband are leftists. They are hardcore leftists, Saul Alinskyites. And let me make the case. This is from PJ Media, just published the 28th of October. And we're going to put this on our Facebook page. It's called, the title is Give Him a Taste of Blood. Federal report exposed Bob Cramer's thuggery long before Obama joined with him in the 1980s. Now, just before I read this, remember that Bob Cramer was one of the, he was the guy in charge. In James O'Keefe's videos, he was the big man. And you saw the other people talking, but everybody knew that Bob was the boss. And they were plotting violence at Trump rallies to then turn around and accuse the violence or blame it on Trump supporters. And the media was happy to report that and remember that they went out and hired mentally ill people and union thugs to go, and they used the language is unrepeatable, having them do, you know, they were willing, they something like they were laughing about how they would do anything. And then we saw, you know, in videos, the violence at these Trump rallies, and then you heard the media, oh, these Trump supporters, they're crazy. Look at those people. Yeah, so there are a lot of crimes and a lot of lies and a lot of evil in that scenario. But let me tell you about Bob Cramer, more about him. He is the one, by the way, that was in the White House over 300 times meeting with President Obama privately, I think at least 38 times by himself. But it goes back further than that. All right, so, you know, Josh Ernst said that basically Barack Obama's not close to Bob Cramer. They're not close. I wouldn't say that they're not really friends. Well, I might surprise you to know that that's not true. I mean, they did meet those 30-some times in the White House together, but maybe they're friends now. I don't know. But according to Josh Ernst, they're not friends. But let's see what the record actually shows. All right, so 45 times, by the way, he met with Obama by himself. So, second public federal document, a 1979 report concluded an investigation by the House Committee on Appropriations. The investigation found that several avowedly socialist and communist organizations were fraudulently using the money to train young activists interested in being community organizers. And Robert Cramer helped found one of those organizations that was investigated called the Midwest Academy. In fact, Cramer was listed as its president. So what was he teaching? The report summing the findings of that House investigation included the outrageous training materials that Cramer's organization, or Cramer himself, was writing and teaching to them. And I'm going to pause and go to the end of this and give you just an idea. And we will link to this article. It will show you the whole thing. You can read it. But these are some highlights. The third principle of direct action organizing is that it attempts to alter the relations of power between people's organizations and their real enemies. The enemies are often, remember, the people's organizations. The people, that's a communist moniker, in case you're young and don't know that. The People's Republic of China, the people, the workers, the people. Okay, so those are not code words. It's obvious if you know anything about communism. People's organizations and their real enemies. The enemies are often unresponsive politicians, tax assessors, utilities, landlords, government agencies, large corporations, or banks. That's broad enough. But the next, give people a taste of blood. Push your opponents so hard you can see them squirm. You may want to assign some people to be insiders and move about to heat up the action, getting people angrier and encouraging them to show their anger. Make what the opposition is doing or not doing sound scandalous. Your power is your ability to hurt the target or withhold something the target wants. The hurt can be immediate or it can be potential. You should always know exactly what kind of power you are using and how it will work. Stunts can help. Be ever on the lookout to play targets off against each other, Republican versus Democrat, upstate versus downstate. Your enemy's enemy may be your ally. And I think we talked about this, but honestly, I'm not sure. David French wrote an article in the National Review. David was the gentleman who stepped forward, said he would run for president, that Bill Kristol was so excited about. David is an intellectual who writes for National Review. He's a former veteran. And he wrote this article quoting and reprinting threats he had gotten from to his family, to himself, threats on the phone. And the threats came, David thought, from Trump supporters. That's who he's accusing. And the threats were like Nazi-esque, you know, just terrible threats against his wife and sort of like what they're calling the alt-right, which I maintain is a construct, like Hillary Clinton's vast right-wing conspiracy. But I think what David French doesn't know, and this has been sent around a lot, and people have been appalled because they think, how could Trump supporters do that? What they don't understand is play targets off against each other. This happens to me all the time in my inbox, in my Twitter account. People will pretend to be conservative or Christian, or they'll pretend to be sympathetic with me and pose as their Twitter handle is a Nazi reference. This is a big game. And so I think David French doesn't understand. He's been punked. He's been scammed. That's my personal opinion. I don't think these are Trump supporters. This is a construct of the very thing that Cramer was talking about. I'm not through talking about Cramer because there's more in this article, but it's PJ Media. Give him a taste of blood. Put it on our Facebook page and you can read more of it for yourself. Sandy Rios in the morning. Don't go away. Be right back.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. One of the things that's so concerning to us as American citizens is when we hear that our highly regarded voting system, established so long ago, is showing signs of being tampered with. It concerns us when we hear that our justice system isn't just and could serve as a weapon against those of us with a Christian conscience. When God wants to judge a nation, he gives them wicked rulers. That was true nearly 500 years ago when John Calvin stated it, and it is certainly true today. As we've spoken before on this broadcast of the plight and blight of our nation and our churches, we know we're deserving of the judgment of God. Our trust isn't in presidents or judges, but in our sovereign God who calls his people to repent. We at American Decency join with others who are urging God's people to cry out to the Lord in repentance of our sins as a nation, as his church, and as individuals. This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson.
On November 8th, our nation will choose a president who will serve as commander-in-chief to protect our country and allies from terrorist attack, and who will nominate the next Supreme Court justice. Voters will also be choosing national and state legislators and officials at the local level. AFA Action urges you to learn which candidates would support religious liberty or strengthen national security. Be an informed voter. Visit AFAAction.net to get the AFA Action Voter Guide, and then vote.
My name is Alex McFarland. Exploring the Word is a unique show because for the first half of the program, Bert Harper and I teach through books of the Bible and explain Scripture. But in the second half of the program, we take live calls and we answer people's Bible questions. And interaction with the listeners from across the USA make for some of the most magical moments on the program, and we look forward to it each and every afternoon.
Exploring the Word. Weekday afternoons at 3 Central on AFR Talk.
Dan Celia of Financial Issues.
You know, there's probably never been a more important time in our economy to be thinking about a charitable gift annuity. I hope you'll do that just to shore up, to firm up some more income, permanent income, income that you can count on for the rest of your life while you're doing the Lord's work. A charitable gift annuity has been something I've been talking about for 25 years. Finally, we're seeing even mainstream start to get on board with the merits of charitable gift annuities. I hope you'll consider it. You can call the AFA Foundation. Someone there will help you work through the details and find out whether you qualify for a charitable gift annuity.
Call and speak with a representative of the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Before President Obama leaves office, it now seems likely he'll have to pardon not only Hillary Clinton, but her right-hand woman, Huma Abedin, as well. Ms. Abedin had legal exposure even before the discovery of many thousands of undisclosed and potentially problematic official emails on a computer shared with her estranged husband, former Congressman Anthony Weiner. She apparently had perjured herself in previous false testimony about Mrs. Clinton's emails and her own. In addition, her long-standing familial and personal ties to the terrorist Muslim Brotherhood raised serious questions about her access to and mishandling of classified messages. It remains to be seen whether Hillary will be able to avoid defeat in the wake of this latest evidence of Team Clinton's serial misconduct and illegalities, but a presidential pardon is the only sure way she and Huma Abedin will avoid justice. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
All right, Sandy Rios back with you. I forgot to tell you, I did tell you, but then on the, before the break, I forgot to tell you. We're going to open the phone lines because I want to know how this is resonating where you are. Are people talking about this? Or is this something that we're just buzzing about here in Washington? Is it something that's getting down into the, you know, the heartland? Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. I would really be curious about that. I want to finish with a couple of things about Robert Kramer here. I was referring to this PJ Media account. Robert Kramer, again, is the guy who was the big boss in the undercover James O'Keefe videos. He is the husband of Democratic Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky. He's already spent time in prison for illegal acts. He's been in the business for a long time. And remember that Saul Alinsky studied with Al Capone. He studied the methods of the mob to sort of perfect his rules for radicals. So don't be surprised if the left and community organizers pick up, you know, methods of the mob, illegal things that they do, because that's what Saul Alinsky did. All right, so this investigation was opened up in 1979 against, Robert Kramer's organization was part of this, Midwest Academy. And so 37 years ago, the House of Representatives found that Robert Kramer was fraudulently using taxpayer money to teach precisely what James O'Keefe and WikiLeaks just caught him. President Obama and the Democratic Party and the Hillary Clinton campaign, and Hillary Clinton herself admitting to actually doing. Remember that I told you that Josh Earnest said that they weren't related. In fact, I'll give you, Earnest said he didn't think Obama and Kramer had much of a relationship and would not describe Kramer as a friend of the president, although he visited with the president 50 times personally when he was in the White House, the 300 times he's been there in the last few years. So the committee report detailing Kramer's lawlessness was placed in the public record in 1979, and Ronald Reagan, as a result of that, killed off the federal program that was funding these organizations, including Kramer's. So then you have to know that Barack Obama went to Chicago to become a community organizer. And that's where he began his 31-year close relationship with the criminal Robert Kramer. So they do know each other. They studied the same methods. And if you want to see what those are, go to our website, Facebook. And you can read this Give Him a Taste of Blood, written by PJ Media, that I just shared with you. It's just written a couple of days ago. All right, let's go to the phones. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. By the way, it looks like that Fox at least reporting that 34% of likely voters that they polled say they are less likely to vote for Mrs. Clinton after the new email revelations. I find myself wondering if people really are paying attention. 20%, I think, of the electorate will have voted by early voting or mail-in voting, absentee balloting before a week from tomorrow. So it really does matter. And by the way, in some states, you can actually change your vote. If you get new information and you want to change your vote, you can do that in, I think it's Wisconsin, Minnesota. I'm not, might be Pennsylvania. I kind of think so. Maybe one or two other states. All right, here we go. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to David in Louisiana. Good morning, David.
Yes, good morning. It seems like the left always wants to put out the word unprecedented, you know, whether it be something about Trump or what's happening with Comey. Before Comey came out and gave his decision on not prosecuting Hillary Clinton, the president himself was on a Sunday morning show who gave the verdict, even before Comey did, that there was no intent on Hillary Clinton's part.
I remember that, too. Yeah. He said, she's not going to be prosecuted. He was confident she wouldn't be. Just puts it in perspective.
Very unprecedented.
Yeah, for the president to weigh in on a case like that, and for the husband of the object of the investigation to meet in a private meeting on the tarmac of an airport with the attorney general, that's a little unprecedented.
Absolutely possible. You have a blessed day.
Yeah, okay, David. Thanks for that observation. Appreciate it. All right, our phone number is 888-589-8840. Let's go to R.D. in Oklahoma. Good morning, R.D.
Good morning, Sandy. Thank you for your broadcast. I listen to you every morning on the way to work. And I just wanted to have one small comment about the latest email scandal that Secretary Clinton is involved in. And I'm an avid listener, and I watch a lot of news trying to see if this is being covered. And the mainstream media is not giving much coverage on this issue at all.
Oh, I'm so surprised. I thought they'd be all over it. And that's, I've been gone, you know, so I haven't watched, but really? Yeah. So that leans into the question that I just asked. Are people even aware? Is this being covered too?
No. No, it's very, very little. And I've watched all four of the mainstream medias the past weekend, and it's just not there. It's just not being covered in a way in which it should be.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's why Donald Trump, the clip I played of him was actually kind of a weak clip. He's been slugging away and making some very powerful statements about this. And I, you know, as often is the case, it's left up to him to get it out. And then, of course, they can edit whatever it is that he says in the way that they want. But, well, that's discouraging, RD. So now it's up to you. You got to share some stuff. Okay. Share with your friends. Yeah. All right. Thanks a lot. Thanks for listening. Okay. Let's go to, let's see. How about Arkansas? Teresa. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning and blessings to you.
Thank you. Same right back to you.
Thank you. I don't think that it's really getting, at least here in South Arkansas, unless you listen to AFR or, well, basically, unless you listen to AFR, you most likely aren't going to hear it. I mean, as much as I love our local ABC station, I wouldn't even turn it on if it weren't for local news.
So,
and I think that...
So, Teresa, then, so people in your life are not discussing this?
No one discusses anything, and they're really tired of me on my soapbox, but it is what it is.
You know, it's interesting to me that Comey did this on a Friday night again.
Don't they always?
Well, they do.
When it's something against the left, it always, or, you know, it always comes out on a Friday evening.
That's right. And then it gets buried. And I noticed this morning, even with when I was watching Fox early this morning, they were talking about it, but it's like they've talked it out now. They talked about it Saturday, talked about it Sunday, so now it's Monday. But they don't understand. Yeah. The rest of America is just now tuning back in. And
yeah,
so,
it's a shame, but it is what it is.
All right, well, we're not going to, you know what, we're going to shout really loudly then. I'm thinking we're going to shout loudly, right?
Shout loudly and pray hard.
That too, maybe in a different order. All right,
Amen,
Teresa, thank you very much. All right, let's go to Georgia. Sarah, good morning, Sarah.
Good morning, Sandy. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much for asking.
I have been hearing a lot, and, you know, nobody never talks about it, but I'm afraid what's fixing to happen, especially since Obama's kind of acting like he's against Hillary now. I'm thinking he's fixing to declare martial law, and we're not even going to get a chance to vote. There's just so much crookedness going on. Yeah. I know God can answer prayers because, honey, I've been praying harder than I've ever prayed before. But
yeah, I think I really do sense, Sarah, that God is certainly quickening the hearts of his people. And that's just worth gold. And I find myself wondering if he is not answering our prayers. You know, I was just reading in a passage. Oh, boy. Where was I reading? Where it was talking about God hardening hearts and closing eyes, lest he be persuaded to have mercy because he wanted to bring judgment. And I was just thinking, how interesting. Does that not show us in the heart of God that he cannot resist when his people cry out, as guilty as they are and as awful as they are and as willful and ignoring of him as they have been, he can hardly resist when they cry out. And I think I never thought of it that way before. He's hardened where he hardens hearts and closes eyes because he must bring judgment. He must, because it's just. But I find myself wondering if God is not listening to his people right now and responding to our prayers. I sort of think he might be, whether we deserve it or not.
It's the only way we can survive is to feel like God hears our prayers and make our faith stronger.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we have got such a corrupt government until I hope we can come out of it. I pray we can.
Yep, but, me too. Me too, Sarah. Thank you so much. Let's go to Marty in Iowa. Good morning, Marty.
Hi, Sandy. Thank you so much. I think, like you say, in the news networks, we're not hearing anything except through FR and bot radio and the Christian stations. I just love you guys to death. And I think one of the greatest things that is really putting a tarnish on the Hillary campaign, I work for a large trucking corporation that's across America, and we've just been hit and hit hard with what our insurance is going to be. And it's all being laid at the feet of Obama and Hillary. And you cannot believe the change of hearts that are going, wait a minute, we are called to be patriots of this country. We are called to stand up for freedom. And I think it's been a great opportunity. And I know that there is a lot of them that have even talked of a third-party situation. And I keep screaming, all you're doing is diminishing the Trump opportunity where he has surrounded himself with great Christian people, and he has the wherewithal of understanding what life is. It took him a while, like it did me, and he wants to see America. He loves America, and his heart is very pliable. And we pray that it is with Hillary and also with Obama that they would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And as a Christian, my job is not to cut these people down in any way. My job is, if my people will humble themselves
and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. Marty, that's great.
Sandy.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Much.
Thanks. It's great to be reminded of that wonderful verse. Let's go to Jenny, North Carolina. Jenny, I think you've got the last say here.
Yes. Hello. Thank you for having me on.
My pleasure.
I just want to say for people out there not to be disheartened that, you know, the mainstream media is not really reporting it. The filthy sewer of Facebook and Twitter is filled with Trump supporters like myself who have intentionally follow Democrat news feeds, Hillary campaign. And every time that woman tries to post something about go vote Democrat or whatever, I quickly get on there and post and tweet back an article of her evidence of her filth. And I always try to look for places to get my articles that are not, you know, obviously right-wing, partisan, and so forth and so on.
So you're saying that the Facebook is kind of over... Say Facebook may be overcoming the blackout of the news.
Oh, I believe so. Twitter, too. I mean, Twitter's a sewer, don't get me wrong, but I see a lot of gentlemen who are definitely from the inner city who are moving to Trump. I see a lot of that, and even they are posting it.
Yeah,
and of course they're being called really ugly, nasty names by Democrats as a result of their turning to Trump. However, it's getting out. Do not be disheartened,
Jenny. I just have to repeat: we are at war, ladies and gentlemen. We are at war. So prepare yourself for battle. Forget about your little feelings that might be hurt because they're going to be hurt. Your reputation, maybe, you know, people might not think you're nice. And I'm not saying be cruel. I'm talking about just stand up. Don't be afraid to be in the fight. Ed in Georgia, you have the last. You have to make it very quick if you can.
Yes, my name is Slaughter. I'm calling from Buena Vista, Georgia.
All right.
African American. I just want to say every time they see that sticker on my bumper, Trump Pence, and they want to fight, I mean, get physically involved. How could y'all be so much in slavery to the Democratic Party?
Well, Ed, we're going to have to close with that, but that's a profound question. None of us want to be enslaved to anyone. We are a free people, and it's time to lay down arms. We are at war fighting for our freedom, so get in the battle. Thanks a lot, Ed. Sandy Rios, I'll be back in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family